Welcome to the Mind Body TV podcast with Dr. Kim DeRamo. I'm a conventionally trained physician sharing how the body heals and how you can access this state of healing effortlessly. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Body TV. I'm Dr. Kim DeRamo, and I want to just say a special hello to everyone listening to the podcast or watching here for the recording. I always welcome your comments. I love hearing where you're tuning in from, and I will look over the comments that you make here later on. So if you're not here live, hello to you as well. I am going to be sharing today about, it's a really powerful topic. It's about the reptilian mind with our instincts, our patterned behavior, automatic behavior, and kind of like the programming that we have for survival and how that can sometimes take over. These are like the self-preservation mechanisms. And in when you study medicine, they're the four Fs of feed, fight, flee, and reproduction, which is a whole different F. But this is like the automatic without higher thinking and higher consciousness that can overtake our behaviors and actually lead us down the wrong path, not creating what we really want. How does this affect our health? It actually has a lot to do with what's going on in the body, because if these are programs, yeah, you think they're survival programs, they're really for like short-term survival as opposed to long-time health, wealth, abundance, and well-being. It can actually override that and create the exact opposite. So how do we awaken beyond this reptilian mind so that instead of like sabotaging ourselves, we actually create a thriving, abundant life and a thriving, abundant world? And that's what I'm going to talk about in today's session. It's a little bit of an adjunct from what we talked about last week, because to really thrive actually takes a whole different part of the mind, a whole different consciousness than what's required for just survival. And so sometimes we think, no, I have to give it my survival in order to thrive. And it's not like that at all. And none of this is actually a risk. But there is some repatterning that needs to happen in the brain, because when these reptilian part of the brain is allowed to kind of override everything, this can really work against us. So we need to actually, yes, we're going to still survive and focus on ourselves, but to move into higher thinking includes us in the equation and also includes everyone else and the bigger picture of what really allows us to thrive. So welcome everyone who is here live. Hello, Tanya from Serbia. Someone from Canada. Hello, Rita. Annika from Sweden. Rumi from Switzerland. Hello, Katie. And Katarina from Sweden. All right. It's great to see everyone. another person from Sweden. We got a lot of Swedes here today. It's really exciting. So yes, just what I need right now. Thank you, Rumi. All right, so I am a physician. For those of you who don't know me, I have was previously an emergency medicine physician in trauma and critical care, and now my career is really centered all around what allows us to heal. How does the body heal itself? Being very intuitive and empathic, it was really natural for me to move into this type of a medical practice. I can read people's energies, know exactly what's going on that's keeping them sick, and have a lot of really powerful insights and awarenesses that are really useful for people who want to heal from chronic illness or disease. And in this broadcast, we've kind of been going into this direction of consciousness in a higher way, like what creates the stuff that's going on right now on the planet. How do we come into a higher consciousness? So instead of operating from the me, I have to survive, and we're like hoarding our food to the detriment of everyone else, how do we actually adopt behaviors that, yes, we are still fed and nurtured, but that incorporate the whole for the bigger picture beyond just the fight or flight based survival to thriving? Because the things that allow us to thrive as individuals are the very things that allow us to thrive as a society. So I know there's been a lot of thought lately around like, whoa, what's going on in the world? There's bad stuff happening. There's bad people taking over the planet. You know, the 1%. which you know, making decisions that are not to the benefit of everyone. And my biggest thing I've had to say is, yes, there are major things that are going on that are being uncovered, like the entire foundation of our medical system, where so much information about healing, health, and wellness has been suppressed. And then only information about like pharmaceuticals, medication is what gets out in the mainstream. And that's actually being actively suppressed right now. You can actually see it very easily. Whereas over the last couple of decades, it was a little more difficult to specifically call it out. It was a more subversive kind of a thing. Well, now it's really easy to see. But same thing in our education. Why are there certain things we're getting educated about and like suppressing other things? There's a whole reason behind all of this that's beginning to surface. But the thing is, as that happens, we are not powerless. We do not need to feel like someone's taking advantage of us or, hey, I'm being lied to and I need to fight against this. No. The reason so much of this is surfacing is because we as individuals are awakening. And when we are awake, we see. So it's not such a big deal. I have seen this my whole life and kind of watched the show. You're free right now to choose what really fits for you. And the idea that, no, I can't because we're going to be forced to do X, Y, and Z against our will is just not true. There are things that keep you in fight, fear, survival, reptilian brain. And then there are things that open you up to the whole brain usage where you have your clarity, your inspiration, and your wisdom. That is what we're going to be talking about today. Hafsa said, does our physical illness also cure by embracing it? Yes, this is the main premise of my program where I work with people live called Embracing Health, which is about, I'm an osteopathic doctor. I learned about how the body heals itself. So my practice is centered around how do I activate that? How do I ignite that? We're actually relaunching my book, The Mind Body Toolkit. We have the revised edition coming out in a couple of weeks. So more on that later. But this is like tools to ignite healing in your body now. And one of the biggest things that happens is we're fighting, right? Fighting the bad thing, fighting the disease, fighting the bad guy. And this keeps us in that reptilian brain function, which is like memories, behaviors, programming that isn't necessarily serving us and certainly will not create health. Yes, it is great for the short term. If your arm's off, we can get your arm back on, but you are not meant to be in this state of fight or flight for long periods of time, and certainly not to function from your whole life from there, which is where most people are. So when we begin to embrace what is as it is, it allows us to override that mechanism so we can access something much higher. It's a big part of what I'm doing in my work and what we're doing in the Embracing Health program. But all of the work I'm doing, the free stuff I share, the stuff that's in the book, hello from Scotland, hello, Anne. All right. Do we have any other? I finally made your live talk. Yay. From Holland, New York. All right. Hi from Michigan. All right, everybody. So any other questions, pipe them in there. Oops, sorry about that. So what is the big thing that's happening then? We look outside ourselves and we think like, this is the thing I've got to fight. I've got to fight the virus. I've got to fight the illness. I've got to fight the bad guys. But it was an old war quote that was said, we found the enemy and the enemy is us. That's kind of the message I'm pointing to in this broadcast is our own reptilian mind takes over and then everything we see is from fear, survival, fight or flight, right? Who's gonna get me? Why did they say that? Oh, he said this, it must be true. Oh no, now they said that, it must be true. Oh, everyone's saying different things, I'm being lied to. More problems to deal with. If you actually just relax your shoulders and breathe more fully, you come out of the reptilian brain hijacking, turn off fight or flight mechanism, and you actually have clarity. Biggest question I get with this is, but if I turn off fight or flight, won't I not solve the problem? That's the big lie that has so many think that fear is the only way. Fear is the only way we're going to survive. And not only are we only going to survive if we ourselves are in fear, we're only going to survive if we make sure our neighbors are in fear as well and make sure everybody is tight and suppressed. Well, it's not true. It won't work ever. Because even though the thought is, yeah, at least we'll survive, we're definitely never going to thrive. But the reality is it's actually not going to assist our survival because we're killing each other in the process. And physiologically, it makes us infinitely more susceptible to viruses, pathogens, bacteria, all kinds of illness. It also creates the very foundation of the inflammation cascade, the inflammatory cascade that has been seen to be the root of all chronic illness and chronic pain. So what I'm saying is living in that reptilian mind hijack, fight or flight, for long periods of time is deadly. There you have it. We've seen this medically, scientifically, and we're seeing this globally. Like the more we live in this fear, we don't connect, open, we're not receptive. So we're against each other. Everyone's fighting against each other. We're eventually going to blow ourselves up if we were to continue along that path. Anne says, this topic is timely for me. I'm feeling conflict between being present and allowing my emotions to arise from allowing my healing versus using the brain retraining, dynamic neural reset training, which teaches shifting focus from old operating patterns of fear, fixing I'm not safe to new patterns of I'm safe, well, healthy, strong, whole. How do I make room for both? Well, it's kind of the same thing. You know, if you come into the space and all you got to do is relax your shoulders, breathe more fully. I'm well. Tell yourselves, I'm well. It's okay. Those kind of affirmations don't work when you're in fight or flight. Just like if you're still committed to fight or flight, you could do DNRS all day, but you're just like, or tapping, EFT tapping, you're like, just hysterically tapping to survive. So are you doing it to instill relaxation, compassion, connection? Or are you doing it to fight the dragon or run from the tiger, right? I got to make sure I do the thing. And then you're like, oh, or like DNRS or whatever you're doing as a mechanism, as a survival mechanism. And only you can know. It's not about the tool. It's not about any of the tools. It's about, am I doing this to step into greater compassion and connection, or am I doing this to escape fear? So the one thing about the affirmation, to tell your cells, body, it's okay. You've got to sort of relax first. Even if you're really uptight and scared, just one breath. Relax your shoulders a little. Put your hand on your heart. Body, it's okay. We can let this go. And that's enough most often to bring you out of that reptilian brain hijack where the reptilian brain is running the show. Me, 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 I've got to survive. And we don't have access to higher functioning, higher wisdom and clarity. We don't have function to our intuitive knowing to come into a space where we let that go. So let me know if that answers your question. The training teaches stopping the thoughts when feelings arise, which feels like don't feel your feelings. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So if you're like, all right, got those thoughts, let me move into greater serenity versus, no, I don't want to feel those thoughts. I don't want to feel those thoughts. Let me reach for a better thought. Let me get out of here. It's like night and day. So use all of it with serenity to connect more fully with yourself. BG said, I live in fight or flight. I have for 12 years. My poor body is so tired and my brain just wants to give up. Yep, that's where the human collective has been for a huge amount of time. And we're shifting out of it now. Hence, the broadcast like this was what I was inspired to share, awakening beyond the reptilian mind. The biggest point I want to make with this broadcast is it is so much easier than you think, and you have so much more power over what's happening in your world than you could ever freaking imagine. And if you begin to know that even 1%, you would realize there is nothing to fear. Julia said, Kim, I love your videos. Thank you. I recently broke my ankle and I'm finding myself face to face with my fear of loneliness as I choose to live alone. I feel safer living alone. I'm curious if there's a link with my reptilian brain with loneliness, which seems to preoccupy my life. Yeah, so there can be patterns like, I don't want to live with anyone else. It's safer. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to do this thing. Then we make choices and create our life around that in ways that maybe aren't serving us and maybe are blocking love. And so if we feel loneliness, A, complete with what you feel, meet it. Okay, body, it's okay to feel what you feel. Breathe in and breathe out 10 times. Be present. And I'm not saying dip into it as if it's true. Just saying feel the energy and let it move. But then part B is, are there things I could do to choose more connection? Because when I feel lonely, it's because I've disconnected from myself. We think we feel lonely because we've disconnected from others, but the reason we're not connecting with others is because we're not connecting with ourselves. And when we do come back in connection with ourselves, which could just start with, I appreciate and recognize that I'm feeling lonely right now. It's okay to feel lonely. I love you. That alone can bring you into a different space, space of connection. So see if that helps, because when you're in that space, you have different insights, you'll make different choices, you have different awareness of like, hey, maybe I'll get out of the house and go to the coffee shop today. And maybe you meet someone or you see something or something happens, but you're following a line of your inspiration instead of the programs that tell you, no, don't do that. You know, you might fail, you might get sick, you might, you know, all kinds of things that the programming will do. Someone on Facebook said, it's often discerning whether we are suppressing. Oh, it's hard to discern whether we're suppressing ourselves so that we're not fighting the tiger. And when we're just expressing ourselves in a healthy way, how to know? See if you can be a little more specific with that. Yes, because we can, we could do any of this, right? You go and get, hey, I need medication. I don't want to feel what I feel. But you could do the same thing and like, I need more mind body tools. I don't want to feel what I feel. So I always look for, because what we focus on expands, right? If I can find that space of self-love, okay, I recognize I'm feeling really bad right now. It's okay for me to feel what I feel. What would be a contribution? What does my body need right now? What could I maybe choose that could feed and nourish myself? Because to do things to feed and nurture me are very different than doing things to escape the pain. So that for me is a little bit of a check-in. And it could be a 2-second shift. And then, you know, you choose something and it can really make a huge difference. Anne said, timely topic for me too. I'm in conflict. Oh, we read this one. Sorry. Lucy, how do you get clarity being in extreme pain all through the body, which brings up fear? Don't look for getting clarity now, like in this 10 seconds. Look for how can I witness what's happening. Yeah, embracing it instead of resisting it to a deeper degree. I'm not saying just sit around and be in the pain. It's okay. Like, you don't want to be in pain. But if you can soften so that you can feel what's underneath the pain, that's the massive key. Is there fear? Is there shame? Is there helplessness, hopelessness? So for you, there's some helplessness, hopelessness where you feel I'm not okay. It'll never be okay. Where did I get this idea that I have no power? Yep. So I would, Lucy, just ask in your body, what would it take for me to remember and access my power? What would it be for me to remember and powerful to begin to know? Yeah, for you, it's not remember. For you, it's what would it take for me to begin to know that I'm actually powerful? Even though I thought I wasn't, even though my experience has validated that, what would it take for me to know that I'm powerful? Because the idea that I'm powerless has it like life's happening to me. Why is this happening? What is that happening? I gotta fight this. I feel defeated. and we literally emotionally tense, and physically the body will tense in response to all that emotion that we're carrying. And with that physical tension comes pain. The body's not in fluidity. Many people are experiencing pain like this. I love, how do you not get stuck in wallowing and have a pity party? All right, this is a great question, because sometimes you freaking do, right? Because if you do, you do. Don't try to not wallow if you're wallowing and you're like, oh, I'm doing it. Just embrace that you're wallowing, okay? I'm wallowing in this space where I feel completely pathetic and hopeless, and I love it. I love myself fully. And sometimes I'll do this visual where I'll embrace it way, way out. I put my arms way, way out like a big circle, and I'll embrace all the shit. Wallowing, hopelessness, helplessness. Oh, this just feels so bad. I can't even bear it. Put my arms around the whole thing. And then I bring it toward me. I bring my hands right into my heart. And I put all of that in this infinite space of love that I am. What would it take for me to cultivate the infinite space of I accept all that is as it is? I accept what I am as I am. Because yes, I know I'm an infinite being. I'm ultimately free. My true nature is abundance, blah, 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 blah. But in this moment, I am not experiencing that. In this moment, I'm experiencing that's bullshit. I'm limited and it sucks. Okay. So I don't have to solve that. This is the big, big problem we get stuck in. It's like I'm trying to solve it from the consciousness where the problem lies. So if I remember for myself, like yesterday, I had a really hard day. My daughter said something. It triggered me like nobody's business in a really surprising way, because it was over like oatmeal. And I was pissed. And I was so like, ah. And I carried this, even though I knew, whoa, there's something big that's triggering me. It's obviously not about the oatmeal. Whatever this is, I embrace it as it is. And all day it was up. So I didn't make it, I'm doing it wrong. Why didn't it go away? I didn't make it anything other than like, whoa, this really is big. It's still up. It's so intense. It's so heavy. It feels kind of overwhelming. It's kind of uncomfortable. But the awareness I had was, oh, this is another layer of stuff I've had with my mom that my daughter is showing me. My relationship with my daughter is showing me, because it's transmuting, because that crusty whatever layer I'm carrying is releasing. Amen, amen. Thank God, yes, to that, whatever is releasing, so that I show up more whole as the love that I truly am. I adore my daughter, but that's not what I was feeling in that moment. I was like, ah. So I wanted to fight her, you know? So how can I show up to what is, even though I don't like it and it's uncomfortable? That's my example. I showed up willing to feel shitty and really heavy, but not making it wrong. And even letting myself have some insight into the higher purpose of what's actually happening here, because that gave me a whole lot more willingness to sit with it. And by the end of the day, I felt amazing and had one of the most awesome evenings with my husband ever, and talked. And I felt I am in a deeper space of compassion as a result for having moved through the energies I moved through today. It was not fun. It was not comfortable. It was freaking painful. But there was willingness, and I met it with that willingness. So the energy moved when it moved, right? I didn't have to judge myself. It didn't move in 10 minutes. I didn't have to judge myself that it was, almost 10 hours. Doesn't matter, because what was moving was big, and it's worth it to allow that presence to come through so that I'm a person of greater depth and compassion, greater presence and compassion. And that's really like the whole point. Katarina, I seem to wake up with a feeling of discomfort. Do I need to, where or why those feelings arise from? Oh, I do need to know where or why those feelings arise from? No. And I had no idea until later that there was some awareness of like, Kim, if you knew what this was about, what would it be about? And I was like, oh, I know it's layers of whatever I've held with my mother that I was unfinished with. But sometimes you don't know. Sometimes I wonder and ask, where does this come from? But more often I connect with my inner child through breath and a quiet time, and that calms my body. Maybe just go with the moment. Yeah, that's what I had to do a lot yesterday, because I wanted to have awareness, but I didn't. And sometimes we think we need to, because we're like, I just don't understand. It won't move if I don't understand what it is. Yeah, that's not true. Sue said, I'm in chaos trying to do this work. Pressure by doctors to take more invasive medications, trying to stay alive. 52, need lung transplant, working on healing, would love to get rid of medication. I feel it's hurting me. I need spontaneous healing. So you don't really need spontaneous healing. You're actually on a journey. What is that journey? Okay, so for you, it's the journey of learning to move with resilience, because it is the unknown. Will I live? Will I get a lung transplant? What will happen? That's a lot of fear. If you can even just 2% presence that, like, yep, all this massive unthinkable fear, breathe in, breathe out, relax your shoulders. What will contribute the most to me? Then there can be more resilience. So first thing that happens is your electromagnetics shift. If we were to put a monitor, which we have this, you know, ability to detect, we can see that immediately. Are you in coherence or incoherence, which is like a chaotic electromagnetic result. So you're going to be more coherent, even if the fear is still there. Okay. The second thing that happens is your physiology shifts. All of your chemistry shifts. The inflammation goes down, right? Body, it's okay for us to navigate this. There's resilience in the system. Inflammation goes down. Endorphins will go up, which make you feel good and help the body heal. Cortisol levels go down. Then there's major changes with what happens in your DNA expression. This is not over like years and years. Your cells are constantly regenerating and replicating. That means from today to tomorrow, you grew some new cells. That DNA that gets expressed is different if you're in a more coherent state. So the coherence, you know, the reptilian brain is, no, I'm going to die. I can't, you know, allow any surrender and resilience. I got to fight, flight, right? The reptilian hijacking, not going to serve you. And I've used this example so many times. So I was an ER doctor, and even in the ER with actual life or death and true emergencies, it always served me to just drop into my body, be anxious for nothing. Boom, I'd have my clarity. Boom, I know the drug or dose I wanted to use. Boom, I would connect with the team around me in a harmonious way that was like boom, 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 boom. Everything synchronized. Amazing things would happen. But if I would have gone into, oh my God, no, there's blood everywhere. Or, you know, what I thought before I went into ER, what I thought it would probably be like, which is like chaotic. None of that could have worked. My brain wouldn't have worked so that I had the clarity to know what to do. So even in a situation where, yes, who knows where, what it, your life, what path your life is gonna go, live in 10-second increments. In this 10 seconds, let me access my clarity. Then you can have the awareness of, let's do this thing. Nope, let's not do that thing. And you can have the experiences of competent, honest people who can really contribute to you. Anne said, thank you for your clarity. Your response is helpful. I'm embracing all of it. What's tripping me up is the rigidity of the way I'm told to do the program. Yeah, so let that go. Let that go. Use it the way you want to use it. You must do it this way and don't make any room for what you feel. At least this has been my perception. Yeah, if it feels rigid for you, it's not your path. Doesn't mean it's a wrong, bad path. It just means it's not your path right now. Clearly honor that. Don't doubt it. Don't make it wrong. Don't say, but this path worked for so many other people. Yeah, don't try to fit a square peg into a round hole. Your wisdom is showing you that this is not in this right in this very moment the way, or it's the way you're taking it is not the way that's going to contribute to you. Boy, beautiful Katarina. We got that one. Okay, Melanie. Lucy said, how do you know what your journey is? You don't really know what your journey is. You just know whether you're on it or not. Do I feel fluidity in this moment? Or do I feel resistance? So whenever I feel resistance, I just soften around that. I embrace, yep, here's the resistance. You don't want to do is, I feel resistance, so it means I'm not on my path, so let me go get on my path, right? I want to be somewhere other than where I am. That just creates more resistance. So the way I'll know I'm aligned, I'm in my alignment, is when I can find the fluidity with what is. But you don't know your journey because, like, it's being created in each 10-second increment. It's being created in each now. So if you're like, oh, my journey is I'm going to blah, 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 and then I'm going to blah, 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 and then after that we'll do blah, 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 that's a fabrication. So I once said to my friend Sean a million years ago, if you know your path, if you can see your path, it's not your path. Because he had his life laid out, like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I meet a woman, and then we're going to have kids, and da-da-da-da. And I was like, if you can see your path, it's not your path. Because the path is organic. Melanie said, so just by shifting into the body with awareness, the runaway train and thoughts of worry gets dissolved? Yep. Or it doesn't hijack you anymore. It might still be running, blah, 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 but you're not on it. You're like, interesting point of view, that point of view. Now you can just see it, but you're not on it. It's not getting dissolved by staying in the headspace, following thoughts, no matter for how long. Yeah, it's not going to get dissolved. It's going to get fed. So you're either feeding the dragon or starving the dragon. And the big point I wanted to make with this broadcast is we all think the dragon is out there. But everything out there is a reflection of whether I'm in my reptilian mind or not. Am I in my reptilian consciousness? Reptilian consciousness is me, me, me. I need to make more money. I need to get more stuff. I need to get a top of more people, get ahead. I need to be better. I need to improve myself, right? Like, take the survival in the body, which is like outrun the tiger, climb a tree, and then put it into the survival in society. I got to make more money. I got to climb the ladder. I got to beat out the competition. I got to get ahead. That's what we've been doing as a society. It's like the reptilian mind has hijacked us. And it's not just in certain people out there who are doing bad things. Yeah, maybe they've been hijacked too by fear, right? They're living in fear. So they're stomping all over everyone else and doing really destructive things. But the problem isn't out there. It's where am I living in my fear that has the thing out there be a problem. I have really honed in on this in the last few weeks with announcements of like, whoa, major things in the world are about to change. They are changing. But when we think we're waiting for this announcement or this broadcast or this election or this whatever to step in, you feel what comes up with that is like, it might not happen. But that's not the truth. The truth is we are awakening. It is happening. It is not up for grabs. It is not conditional. It's unconditional. You are powerful. It's happening. So everything else in this spin out can be dissolved. It's here. We have seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. Where am I feeding my reptilian brain into, but I got to make sure this happens, but I got to make sure my candidate gets elected, right? We really buy it. We really freaking buy it. We think this has to happen or else. So then we fight. And who are we fighting? Fighting ourselves. Find the fluidity in what is outside and inside. Yes, she. Can I still heal after 10 years of a movement dysfunction? I've tried so many things. Yes, Louise, that is not, that's not unprecedented at all. There are many people who have healed, and it doesn't need to be spontaneous where you have like a moment of a quantum shift, although that is certainly possible. We've seen that as well medically, but don't go for that. Allow micro shifts, because this is the important thing. The micro shifts are cumulative. What's a micro shift? A micro shift is, you know, little tiny, I just relax my shoulders, breathe more fully. So what comes up is, I've tried for 10 years, nothing's happening, nothing will happen, it's pretty hopeless now. Yes to freaking all of that shit that is so heavy and so real and it's dense. Breathe in, breathe out, acknowledge it, right? And then we can see little micro shifts. So it's like this, you know, exponential growth curve. Time like this, you know, and this is how much change is happening. So we have like nothing, 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 right? Every, you can see that. Every 10 seconds, you just relax your shoulders, breathe more fully. You're like nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing's changing. I'm still sick. I still have this pain. Okay, the mind's going to do that. Don't require it not to. It's going to tell you, that doesn't work. You really are powerless, right? And you're like, micrometers of change happening. It looks like nothing. It's not nothing. It looks like nothing. And then all of a sudden you hit this inflection point. Whoa, there's actually something changing. Then you hit this other inflection point up here, right? Where it's like, zoom. Massive, unthinkable change. And people would be like, it was an overnight success. Yeah, not really. It just didn't look like anything was happening here on the earlier end of the curve, but there was. There was you making a choice and a choice and a choice and a choice and a choice to choose love, compassion over fear, fight, or flight. Melanie said, yes, starve the dragon, slay the dragon, and thrive. Thank you. I love you guys. Anna, how do I embrace my son's autism and yet hope with all my heart for his full recovery? This is an excellent question. Biggest way to embrace what's happening in your son's situation is to embrace what's arising in you now relative to it. Are you afraid? Are you, is there guilt? This is very common when I work with moms and for the purpose of the kid, there's some guilt, like if I had done this differently, if I didn't do this, if I had known da da da, if I hadn't gone to that doctor, you know, who knows? And we make it up. So fear, guilt. And then there's also a little judgment that we may hold that the situation's not okay as it is. So our kids can have experiences that are uncomfortable or even painful for the purpose of assisting their awakening, for the purpose of bringing them into their journey, not of what you wanted, but of what was divinely designed. And some of these things that we think are problems, bad, wrong, shouldn't be, are actually none of the above. They're actually the journey. So a trauma happens or an illness happens or a circumstance happens. There are many times when that is, we can let that be as it is. So if you end up clearing everything that comes up for you, you may begin to see his condition in a different way. You will, yes, see changes happen for him as well. This is a major piece I learned in osteopathic medicine. It's like what we focus on expands. If we focus on the problem, you know, staring at the lesion, we actually solidify that. Yes, our observer effect of someone else has an effect in their physical body. Amazing. If we instead observe the health and then we find the health, that's what all my teachers would tell me, find the health, you allow the health to flow more fully through the body. So that's the same principle we're talking about here. If you can find the resilience in you, let those fears release or just like embrace that you have these fears, meet them, you will come into a new resonance. And this is really important because physical body entrain, especially mother, child, holy word. So we have an energy field around our body with a certain quality. A child's energy field will align with ours. If we're in, oh no, it's not okay, fear. I mean, this is subconscious too. So we don't necessarily know we're carrying grief or guilt or whatever, but it will show up in others. So this is a major way you can access power to assist a new energetic alignment for your son. And I've seen this beautifully. I did also share an awesome resource where I've seen for lots of kids with autism or other neurologic problems be really powerful. And that was Dr. Naram's work and Dr. Smita's work. I think it was like 3 weeks ago. I had Clint Rogers on as a guest and we shared the link. I don't remember what it is right now, but if anybody does, you can share that and I'll post that later. But Clint Rogers wrote a book called Ancient Secrets of a Master Healer. And this was about that work, which is like a Ayushakti, kind of Ayurveda and energy all put together. But it's been really incredible for some kids with autism. Joe said, I'm taking time from the media over a week. I felt less depressed. Yet how do I continue engaging with the community if I don't listen, apart from me feeling too detached? We don't need the media to feel connected. In fact, the more we listen to the media, the more we will feel disconnected. We will be disconnected. You can know what you know right here. I have friends who don't watch any media, and I don't watch that much, but if I watch something and say, hey, blah, 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 they're like, I don't know. But they're not disconnected or aloof. They're very connected. Here's where we're connected. Not here. but it's a good question. Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Katarina said, wow, Kim, you're deeply knowing, bring so much clarity and levels so close to me that I've never seen them before. Not seeing the woods for the trees. Thank God for you sharing this. Thank you. You're so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So take a media break. In the Mind Your Body program that my husband and I created, that was one of the things, one of the weeks that is like 6 weeks. And one of the weeks is a media diet. And it's so powerful. Like you wouldn't believe, we can, especially now, like it's so addictive to be like tuning in. So what happens if we just actually tune in here in the body instead of out there? That's at drkimd.com/MYB, mind your body. For those of you who are not subscribed, I'm at drkimd.com. I'll be here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. We're in the Mind Body community in Facebook and also in YouTube. Share this because I know there are a lot of other people who are ready to tune into this kind of work. Someone in Facebook said, tomorrow's the 1 year anniversary of the death of two young children who perished in a house fire in the neighborhood. They were the only children for the parents. Yeah, you can already feel the sadness, even when we tune into the story, feel what comes up in your body, because this is for you to clear. There's what happened, and then there's the energy I'm carrying, what I feel about it. And that's what you can, I know it doesn't sound like anyone wants to witness that kind of energy. You wanna, let's just pretend it didn't happen. Let's not talk about that. But it actually can open us to massive amounts of compassion that benefit ourselves. I started feeling grief last night while trying to fall asleep. I began sobbing and cried out, wanting to know why this happened. Why would God let this happen? I finally began to see my efforts to understand this was a way of my ego keeping me on the hamster wheel of confusion, doubt, and always, always trying to understand stuff. Yeah, that is freaking so smart. When you go, wait a minute, this is a familiar pattern. And you're like, let me get off that hamster wheel. Right? Because then I've got to really embrace my grief. And it will dissolve. Oh, thank you, Abo. All right, I love you guys. Hi, Jen. I'm glad this was a great broadcast. I love you guys. Thank you. Melanie shared the interview with Clint Rogers. So there's a link to that. And on that YouTube video, there is the link for his work. All right, so we have coming up the book launch. It's gonna be in November, so awesome Christmas presents because I know a lot of people will love this book. I have friends here in Durango. My one friend, her mom has bought like dozens and dozens of them, and she always is telling me, I'm always giving them out to my girlfriends. So I know it's such an easy read. It's a really, really great book with like tools anytime, anywhere to activate healing in the body. I'm really proud of it. This is the second edition we're coming out with. So be sure you're subscribed at drkimd.com if you would like to hear about that. We have one other question. Can you speak more to the worry and frustration of when you don't know or understand what's beneath either? A gut seizure where I can't eat and coming out of nowhere? Or do you know, powerless, utter fed upness that it hasn't gone away? Yeah, this is the thing. It's sometimes we don't know what's underneath it, but we want to. And the more we want to, the more we can't, right? Because what you resist persists. So when I let go of needing to know, which is super uncomfortable because you feel like, but if I just know, then I could let that all dissolve. Well, got to be where you are. So I will embrace the not knowing and all the powerlessness that seems to come with it, that my situation, you know, whatever I'm feeling doesn't change, and be willing to stay in that space. And that is the most powerful place I can be at in that moment, that allows things to be revealed to me instead of me scampering after it, which is the reptilian brain hijack. It's not going to get me anywhere. So there are so many things that when I allow myself to witness what's happening physically, I will immediately become aware of the energies that are under that emotionally. Hopelessness, fear, anger, frustration, rage even. And so I don't have to do anything with that. You can't do anything with that. You witness it. Yes. Okay. Katarina, is your Be the Medicine coming up in 2021? Yes. Definitively, yes. We are going to run the Be the Medicine Practitioner Program again very soon after this group finishes. And this was September, October, November, December. So we'll probably start it again January, February. It has been a massive, massive success. I am so glad we've done it. There are a lot of practitioners who are really ready to step into their power and step into their gifts. And it comes from stepping into the space of the unknown and letting go of the known, where we can control it, right? But the mind thinks, oh, let me just max out on this first until I get wherever. Then I'll do this unknown thing. It just will never work like that. And the work that so many, especially in this community, are here to do is coming from the unknown, is coming from beyond the mind. And we really must become the receptive person beyond our limitations and judgments of what we think is possible to let that in, especially being seen and sharing the work that can be so out of the box that we're like, I'll never be understood. So I think a lot of people are ready to step into this. It is very, very, very powerful. So thank you. And I would love to have you in the program. In fact, you can go to drkimd.com/BTM to get on the list so that when we launch it, you'll be one of the first to know. So yeah, thanks for asking. Laya, you're an amazing, wonderful person and soul. Thank you with deep gratitude and your generous sharing of your wisdom. All right. I love you guys. All right. Beautiful. Well, give yourself some love today. Remember, there is so much power when you buy out of the reptilian consciousness of me, 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 right? That I'm separate. I'm vulnerable. I have to fend for myself. I have to get ahead and squash anybody in my way. That's the reptilian mind. Like, that's not true. So when all of those patterns and programs are in there, actually must establish a new pathway. All you got to do is, yes, I am that powerful. And if you relax your shoulders, breathe more fully first, that affirmation and knowing will go in cellularly because you just became more receptive. So practice that this week. Let me know how that goes. Yes, we are awakening. It's inevitable. And it'd be great to have some tools to make it a smoother sailing and navigation in the meantime, which is what we're doing here. So I'll see you next week. I will keep checking out comments that come in from people listening to the recording as well. Sending you lots of love. Have an awesome day. Bye.
You've been listening to the MindBody TV podcast with Dr. Kim DeRamo. For a special download to assist with integrating this work, go to drkimd.com/podcast.